Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This episode is going to come out on Monday, July 24th, which means the deadline to register for the September LSAT, the September 2023 LSAT, is tomorrow.
Ah, so decision time. Should I register? How do I know if I'll be ready in time? The first test date in September is going to be September 8th. So if it is Monday, July 24th, and you're trying to decide whether you want to register on Monday, July 25th, for the September LSAT on September the 8th, how do we know whether we should register?
I would look at your last five or so practice tests that you've taken and just see what those scores are. And you're going to score somewhere in that range, right? Plus or minus 3 to 5 points. So build in some flexibility here. But if you're happy with getting a score, even at the lower end of that range, then yeah, register for the test.
Well, then definitely. Yeah. I was going to say that if you're happy with the scores at the higher end of that range, you probably can go ahead and register, because yeah, law schools only care about your highest score. You're allowed to take the test 5 times.
Yep.
So like, let's say 2 out of your last 5 are scores that the scholarship estimator says, hey, you're going to get into good schools. You're going to get good scholarships. By the way, LSATdemon.com/scholarships. If you want to play around with our scholarship estimator, we can do a decent job of estimating scholarships using last year's admissions information. We can kind of project, or we can at least tell you what would have happened, we think, in the last cycle, is what we're really doing there. But if you plug in, you know, if 2 out of your last 5 are like, oh yeah, if I had that number on my record, I'd be looking good, I think it's worth at least considering registering for the test, right? I guess the point is, it doesn't need to be all 5 out of your last 5. Like, that's fantastic if all 5 out of your last 5 are numbers that you could confidently apply to law school with, then by all means, register. But even if it's 2 or 3 out of the last 5, you're a pretty good bet, right? To perform strongly on the official test.
Yeah, and you're going to have a month and a half more to prepare. So presumably you're going to continue to make progress.
What if it's 0 out of the last 5? You still have 6 weeks to prep.
It depends. I mean, everybody's different. Maybe you've been making a lot of progress and you can continue to see yourself make progress. Then again, for some of you, yeah,
you may say, have you been making progress? Do you feel good about it? Are you like within striking distance? I think striking distance is single digits, you know, 5 or 6, are you 5 or 6 points away from numbers that would look good on your official record? Then you could consider it, but you don't have to, right? The only time where I would say you have to is if like 5 out of your last 5 are good numbers. I think you're insane not to just go ahead and register. But if it's 0 out of your last 5, like if you don't have any that would be worthy of applying, then it's probably the presumption is don't register.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gray area, somewhere in the middle, right? If it's 1 to 4 of your last 5 where you're like, yeah, those would be good numbers. Not those ones, but those ones would. I think the thing is, you need to not really worry about the bad ones, because it's only the good ones that are going to count anyway.
True. Be prepared that you are open to getting these scores, and then you'll just need to retake the test, but that's fine.
That is critical. And I guess my strategy does require having that mindset where it's like, you know, I'm not going to be embarrassed if I put these bad numbers on my record. I realize that they essentially don't count. But I know that they're part of my range. And I know that, like, if I play my game, I could have this outcome, which is good. I could have this outcome, which is not good, but I'm happy to play the game anyway, because I know that if I keep playing that game, eventually I will win. You know, like if we were flipping a coin, Ben, and it was like, heads, you get $2, tails, you give me $1.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play that game?
Sure.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You want to play that game.
Yeah.
But you're, you understand that if it comes up tails, you got to come up with a dollar to give me.
Yeah.
And if it comes up tails again, you got to come up with another dollar to get me.
Yeah.
To give me. But you're willing to make that bet because every time it comes up heads, you get $2 and oh, well, I keep playing that game. I win.
And actually, it needs to be changed even more, right? It's almost like I get 5 times to bet with you. And if I win, I get $10. And if you win, you get $1. Because really, as long as I win once, then I've paid for all my 4 other attempts where I lost.
Yeah, well, I mean, the real game is you get 5 attempts. And if you win on any of those attempts, you get $150,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not even counting interest or whatever. That's just, you know, law school tuition of 50,000 times 3.
And when you lose, you lose 200.
When you lose, you lose what? Oh, $200 to take the test?
Yeah. Or what is it now? 210 or something like that?
I mean, you also might like foreclose the possibility of going to law school or foreclose the possibility of going to law school in the immediate future. Because what is it? It's still 5 times in 5 years. But then.
Yeah. So if you lose 5 attempts, then yes.
If you lose 5 attempts, it will cost you $210 every time to take the test. But that's a pittance compared to the law school tuition, which is the prize that we're really going for. You're not obligated if you take it 5 times and you fail every time. You don't lose the $150,000. It's not like you then are forced to go to law school and pay full price, because you can always just say, oh, maybe that's not the thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That said, this registration deadline. Do we have an easy decision criteria? How do people decide whether they're going to apply or not?
Let's just say, if 2 of your last 5 tests were scores that you'd be happy with, sign up.
Yeah. And if it's 1 out of the last 5, I don't know. If it's 0 out of the last 5, probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What about application? Oh, go ahead.
Two more things. Good. One, so if you're a Canadian student, right?
Well, some Canadian students, specifically if you're applying to those schools that average your LSAT, because there are lots of Canadian schools that only care about your highest LSAT.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple schools that might average. And if you're only applying to those schools that average, then you do need to have a little bit of a different strategy. In that case, it might be 4 or 5 out of your last 5 need to be good scores before you should sit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second thing is, worst case scenario, you withdraw before the test takes place and you're not taking it and it doesn't count on your record or anything, right? You don't want to just miss the test or cancel after or whatever. But if you're not ready, you could on September 7th just withdraw.
And it's a viable strategy for some people who are better resourced. This is an example of how this system is unfair. I don't think it's possible to devise a fair system, but one bit of unfairness is that if you register for the test, if it costs you the $215, I can think it is, maybe more, but it was $215, huh? And then they raised it again.
Yeah.
Anyway, $200 and whatever that you have to pay, but that's nothing to some people. And we've learned that over time, that there are people who are like, are you kidding me? My grandparents founded a law firm. I don't give a shit about $215. And for those people, it can actually be a good strategy to say, hey, you know what? On Monday, July 24th, I don't mind paying $200 and however many it is to give myself the option to take it on September 8th, if I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then if you're not ready, you just withdraw. You don't get your money back, but it does not waste one of your 5 attempts. It does not show up on your record. Please don't confuse withdrawing and canceling. Those are 2 totally different things. Cancel is you actually sat for the test and decided to cancel your score. That does count as one of your attempts. It does show up on your record. But if you withdraw before the actual test, and you do have to withdraw, you can't no-show, because no-shows also show up on your record. But if you withdraw, it's as if it never happened. Your wallet is $200 something lighter But if you don't care, then you don't care. And that can actually be a pretty good strategy to just give yourself the option to take the test if you feel ready.
Yeah. And that's critical too, right? If you feel or are ready, because what I don't want is the momentum of having signed up push you into taking it when you aren't ready. So you really only want to do this if you don't give any fucks about $200 and something.
Yeah. And again, like, are your practice tests within a reasonable striking distance?
Yeah.
You know, and like 15 points, that's not a reasonable striking distance. No. Can I get you a 15 point improvement on your LSAT? Yeah, probably. Can I get you a 15 point improvement on your LSAT between now and September 8th? Maybe, but I wouldn't bet on it. Like, that just seems like a dumb plan. Again, unless money is no object to you and you are fully willing to just walk away from that money. Some people aren't, right? Some people are like, once you've signed up, then now that's my thing, right? It's my test date. And I'm like, they just have a real hard time changing plans to let go of that.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that coffee mug experiment where it's like, how much would you pay for this coffee mug?
Yeah.
And then they, but then they asked other people, they gave them the mug and they said, how much would you sell this mug for? And now all of a sudden the numbers are wildly different because people get attached to the shit that's theirs for no reason. Yeah. What a coffee mug. I don't want a fucking coffee mug. Yeah.
Especially when you're just randomly given. It's so funny.
PSA. Have I said this on the show before? My sister is an elementary school teacher. And my sister would like me to make sure that I remind all parents out there that coffee mugs are terrible gifts for your teacher, because that's what everyone fucking does. And they do not need coffee mug. My sister, who doesn't even drink coffee, would come home every year like at the end of school with like 15 coffee mugs.
Wow, that's wild. Because like, I feel like all my room parents because I have multiple kids in these schools now, ask for money.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. Amazon gift cards or something like that. Yeah.
Even a Starbucks gift card would be a hell of a lot better than the Starbucks mug. Just don't, we don't need to be buying mugs anymore. Okay. Back to the real issue at hand. There's a question here. What about application timing? Okay. So notice we haven't talked about applications at all because we over the years have learned that you really should decouple your application. All thought of applications should be completely separate from your discussion of when you should register to take the law school admission test.
Yeah.
But we do get these questions a lot. What about application timing? Can I take the October test and apply in November? Can I apply early but tell schools to wait for a later test score? We've answered these previously, but we should answer them again. It's timely.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you take the October test and apply in November? Yes, you can.
You can.
But
should your
chances of getting in and your chances of getting scholarship money or the amount of money that you're going to get is all going to go down. That's not going to go down substantially necessarily from
and at some schools
October
it might not matter at all. There are schools like Yale who credibly say we never even look at applications until January or February, and if those are the kinds of schools, if those are exclusively the kinds of schools that you're applying to, then it might be totally reasonable to take the October test and apply to Yale in November. It might make no difference whatsoever. What happens at other schools?
Other schools are giving out scholarships as early as, have we seen August?
We have seen August, yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you need to apply in August, but it does mean that other people have already started the race and they're already starting to get some of the money that's been allocated to scholarships, or at least the theoretical money that's been allocated to scholarships, and you're behind.
Reminder, many schools are giving very generous scholarships, which are essentially tuition discounts, but those discounts can get all the way up to 100% or 110%, because some schools give stipends. And if the schools that you're applying to are those kinds of schools that give very generous tuition discounts, then they probably are out there fishing early in the cycle to try to poach the very best applicants. And if you do apply in November to those schools that have been giving scholarships in September, October, then, you know, you're just kind of lining up to get, you know, it's like the meatballs are gone out of the soup and you're yeah. going to be, you're lining up to get like kind of the dregs instead of being there earlier in the cycle to get like the real juicy meatball.
Yeah. Which could save you. I mean, even just the difference of $5,000 a year over 3 years is 15 grand.
It's a golden meatball.
But that's not the real problem, right? The real problem here is that people are, when they're applying later, they're often like trying, they're like forcing the process to happen.
It's a whole host. It's a whole host of problems. And if you think that this is fake, you can ask God, ask our teachers, right? We have teachers at LSAT Demon who went through a journey related to their LSAT, taking the test when they were unprepared, applying in earlier cycles and getting bad offers, feeling obligated to take a test that they weren't really ready for so that they could get an application in by a certain deadline. We see it with our students all the time where it's like they give themselves an anxiety attack because they're registered for this test and they have to be ready by that certain deadline. And they just melt down on the LSAT because they're forcing themselves to do something that they're not really, you know, yet ready to do.
Yeah.
Cool. Can they apply early, but tell schools to wait for a later test score?
You can, but that's the same as applying later because the school is just going to put your application on the shelf and put it back in the queue as soon as your test score comes in. So
that's possible.
Apply when you're ready.
That is possible. And so that, as Ben says, in that case, it just doesn't help you at all. It's exactly as if you had applied later in the cycle. So what's even the point of that? But there's a risk as well, which is that at some schools, they're just going to disregard that checkbox. So they might ask you, do you have plans to take a future LSAT? But it might also say right there in their application, we evaluate applications as received. And we are going to tell you yes or no based on your record at the time. And every school is going to deal with this issue a little bit differently. So, you know, you don't want to apply early with a shitty LSAT to just get waitlisted or denied at the very beginning of the cycle. You don't really know whether they're going to disregard that checkbox or not. So that plan of applying early with a forthcoming LSAT, it might sound good on the surface, but it's either getting you no benefit or getting you potentially negative benefit at some schools. So you do want to be really careful with that plan. All right. Anything else about the registration deadline? I mean, I guess I would like to say, just long story short, how do you feel about your practice tests? Have you been doing real practice tests? Have you been doing them timed? Have you taken your score and input it into LSATdemon.com/scholarships to look at what that score might be worth in the current admissions environment? And if you feel good about that picture, then it's a pretty clear yes, register for the test. If you feel bad about that picture, then it's a pretty clear let's wait for the next one. And you need to just separate that from your application timing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Last thing I would say, we've talked about this elsewhere, so I won't say a whole bunch about it, but just to remind people of the GLAAD acronym, right? GLAAD stands for GPA, GLAAD, LSAT, L for LSAT, A is apply early and apply broadly, and then D, and this is a big one that a lot of people don't even think about, you make the decision to go to law school and where you're going to go at the end of all of that, because you can't make that decision until you know what schools you've been accepted to and how much money they're going to offer you.
Yeah.
And you need to do each of those four things in order in isolation. So if you can work on your GPA, do that now and don't worry about the LSAT. When you have your GPA done and it's locked in, maybe you've graduated from undergrad, then focus on your LSAT. Don't worry about applying early or applying broadly. Once that's done, then you can turn to applying. Once that's done, then you can turn to deciding. People try to flip this around and they do.
I cringe.
What do they do? They do. I
was
know.
Talking to a diversity outreach nonprofit recently that called me, and they were very earnest, and I could tell that they really were well-meaning and they really wanted to help these kids, but they have this whole package. And one of the very first things that they do is they start students working on their personal statements.
Whoa.
And it's like, wow. Okay. So you're going to be lining them up to purchase a BMW or a Mercedes before they have any of the wherewithal to afford something like that. And, you know, what they should be doing instead is they should be getting the best grades they possibly can. And when that's done, they should be getting the best LSAT they possibly can. And when that's done, then they should be thinking about these applications to law school. You're getting it exactly backward. I hate to say this, but like all y'all out there, well-meaning pre-law advisors or people that are involved in these nonprofits, diversity pipeline initiatives and all that stuff. Thank you for your work. I really think that I'm aligned with you. Like I want the same outcomes for these people that you want, but I'm here to tell you that you're doing these people a disservice if you're starting them down the path to applying for law school before they've got their grades and their LSAT locked down. Those are the two most important things. Those are the things that are going to determine where they go to law school and how much they pay to go to the law schools. And it's just insane to be working on admissions essays and those kinds of things before you have your LSAT locked down. Yep. Really silly.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.